So here we are, beginning of a brand new year. This is the first day, as I said, of a whole new year. And the new year is always a good time to pause a little bit and reflect on life and reflect on where we're headed. If we're out on a hike or taking a long journey, this would be one of those good times to stop and take out your map, check your compass bearings, and make sure you're on the path that you want to be on. Maybe make some course corrections. And you think about setting New Year's resolutions, that's a good analogy for what you're doing, right? You're taking a look at your life and where you're headed and determining to set out with renewed conviction and focus on the path that you have in front of you. It's so easy throughout a year to wander off the path that we set ourselves on. You can feel pushed aside by circumstances in different directions. Maybe you've paused on your journey to take care of other things that have come up. There's lots of different ways in life that those distractions come up, that life has you wandering off your path. I'm going to take a moment as I think about wandering and distractions. I know I didn't get my slides started here. I was too busy talking to people and not focusing on getting ready for my message. So sorry about that. There we go. So as I said, it's easy to get distracted and lots of ways you can get off your path. So it's good to take some time to reflect and evaluate where you're going. It's possible in those moments of reflections to make new decisions about life. Maybe you've learned some new things, you've gained some new insights and understanding. Some experiences have taught you some different things or changed your priorities, and now you can decide to set out on a new course in life. And it's in these moments you discover what's really important, and you put all the secondary goals and all the distractions aside and put them in their proper place and renew your focus and passion on what matters most. And all of this is valuable whether you're evaluating your own life or whether we together are evaluating the life of our church. And this is a good time for all of us to remind ourselves that our church is not just some organization that we belong to. This is not just some service that I as a pastor provide to our community. There's a lot about being a church that I simply can't do on my own. The church at its best is a community of people who join their lives together and are under a common faith and a common commitment to a purpose and a vision for the future. We together form something and accomplish something in this world bigger than ourselves, and we do something that can contribute to the faith in Christ and glory to God beyond our own lives. But if we're going to do this well, we need to sometimes pause and evaluate where we are. There are many ideas and opportunities that come up in the life of a church that can take us off path, just as they do for our individual lives. We can get distracted by things. We can see something that says, oh, that sounds good, but it's really not focused on the purpose that we're here for. We can be disrupted and distracted. We need to consider what matters most and renew our conviction to pursuing those focused goals, to stay on track. And I've actually been looking forward to today for a while, actually since our July FEC conference where we talked about what we're doing as a church, our purposes as a church, and wanting to come and just talk to us at True North about what is our purpose, what is our goal. Over the past few years, our church and our community and our whole culture have experienced some major disruptions and changes. And in some ways, over the past few years, we've just been in maintenance mode as we start to work our way out of the pandemic. We get back to whatever is normal today. We discover what's different about our world today than it was just a few years ago. And that's not to say we haven't done some really great things in these past few years. Our church has actually done really well getting through that time of change and disruption. I think we're actually on a really good path. But our world has changed. And it has been a while since we've taken a good look at who we are, what our goals are, and how we pursue those goals together. I think it'd be good for us to take some time to do that. So we have 8 Sundays between today and the beginning of Lent. And in that time, I want to have us consider the foundations of who we are as a church. to ask, what is our biblical mission? What are our values as a church? And along with that consideration, I want to ask us all to consider whether we really agree with and embrace those values together. It's important that we as a church have a common mission and a common path that we're following. Do we really all embrace what we say is important for our church? Or are there things that we need to reevaluate? Even as we make individual consideration about our life, as we as a church, let's consider where we are and where we're going. And when we agree on where we're going, let's consider how we can all pursue those things in today's world. The world is different today than it was even 3 years ago. And church throughout America is finding that doing what used to seem to work, to help people grow, to bring people into the church, is no longer working. And we saw trends of that before COVID, but even more so now. Our culture has a very different view of what church is. In fact, just as a sign of that, I received a gift today in the mail from the FEC. It's a book called Christians in the Age of Outrage. And I read the introduction this morning, and really what it points out is we live in a time today, which none of us is surprised by this, where outrage is a common feature among people. People are quick to be upset about what has been done to them. And among the vocal groups of people who express outrage are Christians in our world today. We are quick to be outraged at things. And what this book says is, you know what, there's a better response that we should have. There are plenty of things to be upset about. And we may have a righteous anger about certain things, but is outrage and feeling personally attacked the right way for Christians to respond? And this is just one example of how we need to think differently about the way we interact with the world today. The world is different, and it calls for a Christ-centered response. But what is that response? There's lots of different ways we can evaluate that, and so we need to consider that as a church. How does all that has changed in our world apply to us here in Cannon Falls? And more importantly, how do we all work together to focus on the path before us with passion and determination to love the Lord with all of our combined hearts, minds, and strength? And so these next few weeks, I really want to be more than just a teaching about what's important to this church, but rather a time for all of us to reflect on the life of our church, to set out this new year with a new sense of purpose, a common passion, common vision together. This is a time for new beginnings, a time for us to refocus and recommit together on the goals that God gives us for the life of our church. So for today, I thought the place to begin would be just a consideration of what it means to be a church. What are the solid rock foundations that we stand on? What do we hold firmly to, not because we feel strongly about them or we have this desire, but rather this is what God has mandated. We'll start with what God has said the church is, or what we feel is important to stand on firmly. There's three points that we orient ourselves around that I want to express today that form the beginning point of who we are as a church. And then as we go on from here, we'll discuss more about the values that we at True North have. So first of all, getting our bearings as a church, the first thing that comes to mind for me is God's Word. The Bible is our primary foundation for understanding what we need to know about who God is, who we are, what the church is, what kind of interaction God has with us, what he desires from us. One interesting note as we begin with this is the word Bible itself is derived from either the Greek or the Latin word that means books or the books. So the Bible is just that. It's a collection of books, a collection of writings across many centuries that provide us with the primary unchanging message about who God is, about who we are and what kind of relationship God wants with us. And this means it's much more than just a religious or spiritual text. It's not just a guide to religious rituals or mythological beliefs. The Christian Bible composed of 39 Old Testament books telling about life with God before Jesus came, and the 27 books of the New Testament written after Jesus was born are rooted in human history. They provide a fundamental and important basis for understanding life for all people. If what the Bible says is true, as we believe it is, then understanding and abiding by what it teaches provides a basis for the most God-honoring and successful life possible for all people. This is what we believe to be true here. So we understand to be true. We begin our self-reflection as a church declaring what Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16, where he says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." The Bible is what God has given to us to communicate to us. This is our primary foundation. It is our guide as we seek to honor God in an ever-changing world. It's the authority we establish ourselves under as a church. And I know this may be review for a lot of us, but it's important to get back to the basics as we start our reflection, to understand the Bible is what we start with. Now, there are a lot of things the Bible covers. We can spend a lifetime seeking to learn it, to apply it, adjusting our thinking about life from it. But there are two statements that Jesus makes that provide a basis for the work of the church and who we are and what we do. Does anyone know what those two statements, what we call those two statements? One is loving the Lord, and that's the command. We call that the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment, and the other statement is the Great Commission. So let's go through those one at a time. First, we start with the Great Commandment. And there are several passages we could turn to in the Bible that talk about God's commands for us, which are best understood as God's directions for how the life he intends for us. But Jesus, who we know from the Bible, is God in the flesh, summarize all of God's commands in this one commandment. You read about it in Matthew 22, verses 34 through 39. Let's open up to that together. Matthew 22. Oop, one more page. We'll start in verse 34. We read here, "When the Pharisees heard that he, Jesus, had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. He said, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?'" And he's trying to trip Jesus up and get him to say something that they can refute him on. But Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So what Jesus says is these two statements right here summarize everything that God has ever commanded us. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love your neighbor. That is the great commandment. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul highlighted the second part of this. He says in Galatians 5:13 through 15, "You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So this is our primary command as Christians and as a church. Everything we do ought to be done in obedience to these statements, to love God with all we have and to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's the first command. The second statement is the Great Commission. And this is the foundational statement that expresses our purpose as a church. The primary statement of this is found in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. As Jesus was getting ready to leave his disciples, he said, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded. and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And similarly, in the beginning of the book of Acts, Luke records Jesus giving this command to his disciples before he was taken up into heaven. Acts 1:6-8. It says, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" And so taking these things together, we understand that as Jesus left the earth to go stand in the throne room of heaven and be the advocate for all of us, having sacrificed his life for our sins, he sent the Holy Spirit to empower all who have faith in him to be his witnesses in the world, to go and make disciples, passing on this faith that we have in Christ to future generations, to our neighbors, to those around us. This commission has served as the basis and the authority for the first disciples of Jesus to establish his church. That's what the church was, the outcome of people going out and making disciples and being witnesses to Christ. So the purpose of the church is to share the good news of who Jesus is and what he's done in the world, seeing people of every tribe, nation, and language around the world turn their lives to Christ in faith. The outcome of us fulfilling that work is that we have many gatherings like this one that we call True North Church of Cannon Falls all throughout the world. These church gatherings are not organizations in and of themselves. The purpose isn't just to get people to come and to grow this thing and to have more programs and raise money. The purpose is always to make disciples, to be witnesses empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the more we do that, the more we have people coming together in faith. The goal as we gather together like this week after week and day after day is to encourage one another in our faith, to help one another deepen our faith, to equip one another to do the work that God has given us, all coming back to that commission of making disciples and carrying on that work to love and support and encourage one another, to keep living for Christ. And so these three things, these three compass points, if you'll call them, these three tools for the journey are our foundation for being a church. We are founded on God's word. God's word is our guide, our authority. And from God's word, we learn the great commandment and the great commission that Jesus has given us. You will, of course, find other Christian churches that abide by different foundations. There are churches that have a different view of the level of authority they hold the Bible up to. Some see it as just a helpful guide or an interesting perspective on history. But we understand that what God's word tells us to be true is true, that it is God's message to us and therefore has an authority greater than any of us. And there are churches that don't identify the Great Commandment and the Great Commission as their basis for existing. But again, we see that's what the Bible tells us, and we hold to that. We're among a group of Christians who broadly call ourselves evangelicals. We see good reasons for holding up the Bible as our authority, and we work hard to understand what it says according to what the author is intended to communicate. We wholeheartedly believe this to be in God's inspired message to mankind. We submit ourselves to the Great Commandment, and we hold to the Great Commission as our primary purpose. Everything else that we are and everything else that we do as a church comes from those three things. This is what informs and inspires all we are and all we seek to do as a church. One final statement that I would share with you this morning is a statement that we have developed here at True North to define something about our character in fulfilling this commandment and this commission that God has given us. This is our mission statement, something we derive from a lot of thinking and prayer and discussion. about how God has called us to carry out his commandment in this world today, according to the values we see embedded in this church. Something we try to keep closely tied to the Bible and pointed in a certain direction, but also broad enough to be applied to a lot of different ways. So we say our mission here at True North Church is sharing God's love and inviting people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus. We try to summarize all those things, those foundations into that statement. We are about sharing God's love and inviting people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus. So today, I just present all of these things to you as our starting point on reflecting who we are as a church and where we're going in this journey into a new year. There are some more things for us to consider in the weeks ahead. And I want to encourage you and hope you will take some time at the beginning of this year to really reflect on your life. It's valuable to give some consideration to where you are, where you're going. What is it that God really wants for you? To begin the year with some clear direction as you want to grow in this new year. As I said earlier, this is a time of new beginnings. Ask yourself, where are you heading? What path are you following? What path do you want to follow? What do you claim as your most important values? How is your faith life? What might God be prompting you to grow in and change in this year? What can you do to refocus and set yourself on the path God has called you to? And along with it, ask yourself, how can your church family come alongside you in those goals? We want to be walking along this together. How can we help encourage you on your path? And this week, I want to ask you to consider these foundations I shared with you today for our church. Do you understand and agree with them? I think it's important for us to really consider if we just intellectually agree with what we're told or whether we believe it in our hearts. We know it to be true. Can you fully embrace that this is the foundation for who we are as a church? And if not, what might be holding you back, and what can we discuss about that? Maybe there's some important things for me to hear from what you are thinking. Let's begin this year with some honest reflection and prayer on our own lives and our life together as a church. And as we do that, may God bless us with increased faith, with deeper wisdom, with greater love and strength to focus our hearts on mine for his will for us. May he give us the courage and passion to pursue what he lays before us for his glory. And I look forward to exploring more in the weeks ahead about where we're headed as a church, what we're really all about. And let's engage in prayer and reflection and discussion on these things so we begin this year together with a passion and focus on what God has in store for us. Let's give thanks today for God's foundation that he's laid for us, for the work that he's called us to. Let's pray together, and then we'll praise him with our closing song. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you that you've revealed yourself to us in ways that we can have confidence in who you are and what you desire from us, Lord. We thank you that you have called this group of people together to form this church, and I do pray that you would speak to us in the weeks ahead about your plans for us and how we may work together to accomplish your goals, Father, in this community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.